Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan.
Very dramatic there. Mm-hmm. I liked it.
Mm-hmm. First,
welcome to the other side of what's it called? Daylight savings. Dan, this is the first daylight savings I've had in years.
Oh, that's right, because you were living in Arizona, the land of sunshine.
It threw me off. Mm-hmm. So,
did you love it as much as everybody you all does?
I did not love the day after. However, I do love how much sunshine is in the evenings.
Agreed.
Now, we should just make this be the schedule.
I am a hard yes on making this permanent.
Okay.
This has always been my take.
All right. Officially, we're declaring this is permanent.
Yeah.
This is actually not our warm up. I just was kind of doing this. The book that we're going to be talking about is The Goblin Emperor by mm-hmm. Catherine Addison. That's mm-hmm. what we've started reading for today. However, I do have a warm up.
Okay.
Dan.
Yep.
I need you to diagnose a mental thing that I have.
You want me to put on my doctor coat?
I want you to put on your doctor coat.
Okay.
To figure out what's going on in my brain.
Okay.
When this phenomenon happens. Okay?
Okay. All right.
It's gonna be sports related.
I'm ready.
Sports
related? So, I'm really good at that. I know a lot about sports.
That's right. So as I've mentioned before, I've for whatever reason become less of a sports fan over time.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like watching just sports in general, and I just don't, I care less specifically about specific teams.
Hmm.
So I am quite happy putting on like random sporting events and watching them, kind of.
Okay.
Here's what happens, though.
Yeah.
Now that we all have like streaming, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There will be sporting events that I really want to watch and sound interesting, but they happened like yesterday. Now, I can very easily, like, I'll be scrolling through the little app on my TV, and it'll be like, here's this match that happened yesterday at 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
that you could watch now. Here's the thing, I don't know the score. I don't know the outcome of this game, or match or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't care about the outcome of the game, but I think I would have a fun time watching it.
I think,
but
I know
because
exactly.
It's not live,
yeah.
I have no interest. And logically, I'm like, this makes no sense.
Yeah,
but I'm just like, it's not live. Why would I watch that? It already happened.
That's quite interesting. Okay, let me ask a few clarifying questions then. Is it sport independent? Does it matter what the sport is, like, or is it any sport? You're scrolling
any sport
through.
Any sport. I'm talking gymnastics, I'm talking soccer, any sport. I'm just like, it's not life.
Okay, do you tune in even if you're hopping in like the middle of one? Like if it's already started, do you jump in at the middle?
I'll jump in, yeah. If it's I will.
At the middle, though. So hold on, because there's two options here, right? Because I'm imagining you could start at the beginning if you wanted to. Maybe not. Is that not how you're asking?
Well, no, here's the thing. No, you can. What I'm saying is that I will not something in my brain does not allow me to watch something that's not live.
No. Listen, I understand. I'm trying to figure out how much of a delay we are allowing in this. So I'm saying,
Okay.
So you're saying if there's an ongoing sporting event, you're going to jump in wherever the live point is and then
that's
just start
what I'm
watching
do.
There. Now, follow-up question, are you also engaging with some kind of a community that's also watching this live? Yeah,
no.
Okay.
No,
that
not.
Would be an easy answer here.
No, that would make sense.
Oh, boy. Well,
I'm curious. I realize that this is not the case for you because you're not a big sports person.
No.
If anyone is out there is a sports person, do you suffer from the same nonsense that I'm talking about?
Luke, I actually think this is really interesting because I think this is absurd for a while now.
Yeah.
Because you actually benefit from watching it afterwards because you get to skip all the commercials if you've like DVR'd it or whatever. And like the only potential downside is if somebody spoils the outcome for you. But otherwise, like no difference.
Yeah.
At least from my perspective. Okay, then Luke, hold on. Do you think there's a part of you that there is a sense of danger when it's live? Like to use an analogy, maybe this is a sport you were watching. A lot of people live for the crashes in NASCAR.
Mm.
And if you don't watch it live, right, it feels less real for some reason. Is that, do you think that there is a part of you that's there, that's looking for some kind of a crazy thing that could happen because it's live? Like the possibilities are so wide open because it's live.
Interesting question. I think the safety, the like danger aspect, I guess, is probably not part of it.
Okay.
But maybe more broadly, the idea of like anything could happen.
Hmm.
But even then it like doesn't make logical sense.
Look,
because I still don't know.
Luke, I'll tell you what, it doesn't make any logical sense at all because you're still watching it through your TV. Okay.
Right.
And like,
right.
The quantum photons are, well, they are going to be different because they're coming right from the player directly into your eyeballs. So those photons are going to feel a little different, I think, when they hit.
I know. And I can tell that.
And you can tell.
When I'm choosing what to watch.
Okay, Luke, now hold on. Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Would you invest in an app that told you a false schedule of what was live?
So you're like,
I
thought that it was live.
I'm currently pitching an app right now. Okay, listen up, sharks. I've got an app. That what it does is it hooks up to your TV and it notices when you like pause on a sporting event, but if it's not live that you moved on. And then what this app does is it provides a little overlay on the same game, like a few days later, mm-hmm. that says that it's live. Yeah. And it makes it look like it's coming up on the schedule that it's happening in 5 minutes.
Yes. Yes.
Is Luke investing?
Dan. 100% I'm investing in this. I think we need to work out the tweaks of how exactly this works a little
right.
bit.
Because it would have
but the concept is strong.
You'd have to have
very
a
strong.
You'd have to have a little bit of suspension of disbelief of like, because you're always, and here's the thing about it that I think makes it work. They also have live sports on this, right? Like sometimes it's live.
Yeah.
You don't know when it's live and when it's not.
Dan, if I could, let me tell you something because. Yeah. If I'm scrolling, if I'm like, I need something to watch.
Yeah.
And I am scrolling on my TV app and I happen upon a like good game
mm-hmm.
that is like, you know, early or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, two good teams playing in a sport that I think I might want to watch.
Yeah.
The mood uplift of like, oh, I just happened to find this right now. Is pretty strong.
Okay.
And Luke, so what I'm telling you is if you could find a way to trick the user.
Yeah. Here's how it works.
And Luke. Just be always serving them good games, even if it had actually happened like a little while ago.
Yeah.
And they continuously thought they were stumbling upon it.
Yep.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, Luke, then
I'm here for that.
Here's how the app works. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. People using users on the app, when they watch a game, they say if it's good or not. They're like, oh, yeah, this game was sick
mm-hmm.
or this game was bad. Okay. Then
anytime
anyone opens up the app, it generates a queue. It generates a fake schedule of a bunch of upcoming live games that are not live. But they're just the best games from that week. And it makes it look like. And of course, they're at like times. They're sort of at offsets where it's like, oh, 30 minutes. There's going to be this game on.
Yeah.
Now, again, it would require some suspension of disbelief. And I think you this is going to be expensive because you're going to have to get some rights to the games. But for this particular crazy circumstance, Luke, I think it's warranted.
I think we can.
And Luke, I know should that say, it's, you're not alone here. There are a lot of people that when it shows that it's live in the bottom right hand corner or wherever it shows up, like they love it. People pay a lot of money to watch things live.
This is, I'm going to say that this is actually beyond sports. Have you ever, this is kind of an older phenomenon that would happen, Dan?
Yeah.
When like we watched more live TV or if like there were only a few channels, right? Less options.
Yep.
And you stumbled upon like a channel that was showing like a movie that you really liked.
Yes.
But you like have that movie.
You're saying you watch it on TV rather than put the
DVD
on?
You watch it on TV because it's awesome that way.
I do kind of know what you're talking about. Yeah.
We got to do, listen, if anyone out there is like a psychologist, like in a research lab, figure out what's going on in our brains when this happens.
Oh, Luke, I just figured it out.
Okay.
You just want to see the streakers. Luke is just desperate to see a streaker run across the field, and you're not going to see
that.
If it's not live, they're going to censor that out. That's not going to be in the final broadcast.
You know what, Dan? I think you've solved it.
Yeah. So, anyway, glad we figured that one out, Luke.
I have some soul searching to do on that.
Get back to us if you learn anything.
I will update you on my journey of self-discovery. But for now, let's talk book.
Yep.
So again, Goblin Emperor, we're doing thirds. Mm-hmm. So we stop this time at chapter 14.
Yep. Luke, first note. Okay, first note. Our boy, Maya, is talking about how the society is sort of structured.
Yeah.
And he is a bit of an odd duck in this world for, I think, a few reasons, which I think are very interesting. The first being that he's like half goblin.
Mm-hmm.
And his mom was like a really nice goblin lady.
Right.
And so she taught him to, like, care about people, even if they're servants.
Yes.
And one of the things that he said about servants in the goblin culture is that often they're your family.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
That's a fucked up dynamic, no? I don't know if that makes it better.
Right.
If you're like, hey... Hey, Uncle Rick, can you clean up this shit? Like, I just made a big mess in the kitchen. I need you to clean it up right now, Uncle Rick. And, like, we're fam, so, you know.
This, to be fair, this is supposing the way that you, the servant and noble or whatever, relationship stays the same. It's just the way that each other are treated stays the same, but the actual like nature of the relationship is different.
Okay, you're right. But I think at the core of it, if somebody is your servant, they are like taking orders from you, right? Like that is just...
Yeah, I mean the word servant for sure.
Yeah, the word servant is like, okay, at the very least, you are telling them what to do.
Right.
Like you're the one in charge.
Right. It's just a higher level of respect, though, I guess. There's an HR, Dan.
There's an HR? I feel like this I feel like the goal of this is to actually get rid of HR, is to be like, we don't need HR because it's just my uncle. And so, like, we just keep it in the family. We don't need an external auditor.
I see.
I think it might be worse, actually.
Okay.
Because who's looking out for you, right? If your family is bullying you as a servant, who's got your back? Do you know what I mean? I feel like this is actually worse the more we talk about it.
Well, I mean, I feel like there's no one looking out for you in the other scenario as well.
No, in the other scenario, you presumably have a family that is different from your employer.
I see what you're saying. It's like you have two. It's like you have two lives. Whereas if in the goblin one, like your life is.
Yeah, in Goblin One, if you have a shitty day, you're like, well, I've got nobody to talk to because it was my family that was all shitty to me about how bad of a job I did prepping the goose or whatever we cooked.
Right.
Whereas at least in the Elvish Kingdom, if you have a shitty day at work, like if your boss dies in a plane crash because you like forgot to fill up the fuel tank or whatever, you can go to your family and be like, guys, I really fucked up. And they'll be like, oh, it's okay. Little Jeremy. Jeremy.
Happens to everyone. You know.
I don't know. I think the word servant is the thing that really fucks with me for this.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how it works either. Maybe it's like a rotation kind of system. Like...
Like, yeah, today...
The family rotates roles. That'd be kind of nice. There's some, like, self-reinforcing mechanisms there.
Sort of a veil of ignorance kind of a situation. Like, you don't know when you're going to be cleaning up the...
Yeah, and, like, if you treat one person poorly, then, like, it's going to come around to you.
Right.
You're in that position.
I don't know if it's the best way to like run a business to be like, all right, today you're the CEO and I'll be the janitor. All right, ready, go.
Right. I don't disagree. But anyway, the family as servants is just kind of, it is strange.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. The mechanics of that are a little bit.
I think the vibe weird. That he was going for, that Maya was going for, is a nice one. And it's one that's really motivating a lot of his decisions, which I think is great. But
it's probably more of a polite fiction because he's never actually been in that culture.
And this is the thing that this is the other part of it that I think is really interesting is like, he has like pieces of it, but he has very little of this other culture. I feel like he has very little of any full culture that he's figured out. Like he's just been a little guy getting abused for 10 years.
He's very isolated.
Yeah. And so he doesn't know a lot about either of these two cultures, which, you know, is making his job pretty hard, seems like.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. Well, okay. So one thing that's interesting, and this is going to be a little bit more about like the meta stuff. I'm gonna talk about like the writing choice that our author does here.
Yeah.
Where it's somewhat of a common story of like a, you know, outsider getting thrusted into a powerful position.
Yeah.
Right. And like a young person who's like nice, you know?
Yeah.
And this is going to be a small tweak, but that I found interesting is that we didn't get introduced to Maya, our main character, before he gets thrusted into this position.
Mm-hmm.
So like, typically what I'm used to is we get like a couple chapters of what their life is like before this event happens.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Like they're living in this cupboard under the stairs or whatever.
Right. In this one, the opening scene is him learning that he will be emperor.
Yeah.
And then we kind of get like flashbacks. Or less so than flashbacks, but more like...
I think memories. Kind of they're sort of just memories.
And like descriptions of how his life was like after the fact. Which is just like, I think it's just kind of different than what I'm used to.
I love the efficiency of it, frankly. I'm like, you know what? This is characterizing him very well already. Like I don't think we actually needed the before he became emperor kind of stuff. Because I...
Right.
Yeah.
I will say, because, and I agree with you that this is like more efficient for sure. But we do miss a little bit of like, what was he doing day to day.
I think getting yelled at. Sleeping in a gross bed. I don't know. Being a little goblin. Probably looking for...
Just doing goblin, little goblin things. Yeah, little half goblin things in an, in a kind of out of the way house.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know what he was doing, but doesn't matter. He's emperor now, so. It does lead you to wonder, like, what are his skills, though? Like, I don't know what he's good at all.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Like, is he a duelist?
I'm guessing no.
Yeah, probably not. And he's not doing magic, which, Luke, how long are they going to tease us before they actually tell us what kind of magic people can do?
Yeah.
He literally has like a wizard guardian who's with him, and we have seen them do no magic. At least do a little.
It is. Yeah. He has two guardians, right? One of them is more the like fighter style, and then one of them, I think they describe it as like the of the mind or something.
Yeah, he has four guardians, like actually, which we do need to get back to that. And they're like the Nohacharis.
Yeah,
we will get back to that eventually. But yes, he has like one that's a fighter and one that's like you were saying of the mind.
And you're assuming that of the mind one is like magic.
Well, they talk about the fact that they can do magic because they talk about how one of the previous emperors, his Nohacharis, like, they had the delay so he could get there and, like, save him from a magic user who was trying to kill the emperor.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I think they do magic.
I agree. Honestly, when it like I have come, for sure. But I kind of like the initial idea that I had of when it was just like described like of the mind. I thought it was more of like a psychiatry kind of situation going on.
Oh, I see.
Which would have been neat. I realize is not the case.
I was thinking it was more of like a mentat, you know, somebody who can do really good math in their head.
Okay,
like a Dune cool. mentat kind of guy.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem that way, though, based on the recent interactions with Kala.
Right. Right.
Which is too bad, frankly.
It is. Let's be friends. Come on.
Can't do it, Luke.
You guys can be friends.
Can't do it. But I do want to talk about this dynamic of the Nohacharis. So he's got two primary Nohacharis. Like guards, and that's Kala and Beshalar.
Yeah.
And then he's got two backup Nohacharis guards.
Right.
That's got to be one of the worst jobs in the kingdom, no? Is being the backup Nohacharis, because the deal is if the emperor dies, like your life is tied to the emperor.
Right.
But you're not the primary one. You're the runner-up to those. And it's clear that the primary ones are, like, better than you.
So it's such an interesting... Because, like, I don't understand why there is a primary and a backup. Like, why are they not equal?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, presume, like, because I feel like they do roughly the same amount of time.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, no. They don't do the same amount of time. Because I think the backup ones are only when the primary ones are sleeping, right?
Is it? Okay, I thought it was like they were in shifts. I thought it was like a doctor's shifts kind of thing.
If that's the case, then yeah, you don't have primary and secondary ones. They're all equal. Don't do that to them. How dare you?
Yeah, exactly.
How dare you? You have all the same risks, but like none of the prestige. You're literally like, oh yeah, you're the backup.
Like, yeah.
No. It's got to be that they're only on the clock when the primary ones are sleeping.
I mean, maybe, but I... Even then, like...
It's a lot of time.
Yeah. To me, it just makes so much more sense for them to all be equal. Because if their job is, like, this important, right?
Yeah.
Then they should be spending the same amount of time and have the same level of, like, access and stuff like that as each other.
Yeah. Yeah. This job is terrible, right? Like, who... I feel like we haven't gotten too deep into it. They've talked a little bit about it, about the fact that if the Emperor dies when they're not there, they have to, like, immediately kill themselves, which is...
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
Whew, tough. But I think this is also so interesting because there was no indication that they would have to find two people to do this until right before it was. So what do you... Like, imagine the conversation. The Emperor's dead, you're a part of the guards or the magic school, and suddenly the headmaster is like, hey, I've decided you're going to be the guy now. So your life is now tied to the Emperor, you have basically no free time, and that's it for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Ah, I just wanted to learn spells. I didn't really want to do that.
Do you know, was this how it, like... I was trying to figure out if they know that this is going to be their role, if they, like, train specifically for this or anything, or if it's like...
No, because what happens is, right, they ask him if he wants to pick, and he says, you pick. Or either that, or he says, let them, like, send the candidates to me.
Yeah.
And so they just send two people, and he goes, yep, those, they seem good.
Right. Which also, I wouldn't do that. I'd be like...
Also, yeah, you gotta be skeptical.
I'm having some interviews and trials and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, especially considering you know literally nobody here. Like, you have zero awareness about, like, who is actually on team you.
Right.
I'm not gonna take the guards who watch my every move just on faith that they're cool.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it on vibes. Do you think... Okay, here's a question, Luke. Do you think the Nohacharis is a better or a worse job than just being the Emperor? Because being the Emperor sounds horrible too, no?
I mean, for a lot of reasons, yeah. Like, no... I mean, just the responsibilities of being the Emperor, obviously, but also, like, no privacy.
Yep.
You're always having to do this. Yeah, for sure.
You don't really even get to set your own schedule in a major way.
Yeah.
People are always trying to kill you or, like, usurp your authority, and you have to, like, hold it together. A lot of stress.
I mean, so the funny thing is that a lot of those issues also apply to the guard folk, the guards.
There's a big difference here, Luke. They're not having to make a bunch of decisions constantly. Like,
yes,
they get to chill.
That's the main one.
They get to just, like, chill and sit in a chair for a fair amount of the day.
Right.
If you have, like, a vivid mental world, like a personal inner life, that's fine. I'll just sit here and have a little fun adventure in my mind for an hour or two.
Yeah. Still, though.
Look,
they have both to stay, they have to live. They're sitting in his room while he's asleep, just there.
Yeah.
That's every day, Dan.
Yeah, it is every day.
That's 8 hours. Of sitting in the dark for your job every day.
Well, they alternate. It's only four.
Okay, sure.
And
still,
maybe they've learned some, I don't know, maybe they're composing a song or a poem in that time.
Could be. Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of free time, really.
Well,
because you just have to be there. Maybe you're practicing your spells, your cool spells.
I guess it depends on how focused you have to be, right? Because, like, you are guarding the Emperor.
Yeah, that's true. Ah, man.
But give me Emperor, honestly. Now I'm thinking about this more. Give me Emperor.
Ah, Luke. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'd rather be one of the guards.
Okay.
I don't want to have to do all this bullshit. I don't want to have to actually be the one that makes the decisions. I'm happy to just... I have a simple job.
Sure.
I'm a simple man with a simple job, and that is use my magic to defend the Emperor's life.
Right. Easy. You're assuming you're the magic one.
I mean, come on.
You're right. okay. So on a somewhat similar topic that we hinted at of like who to trust.
Yep.
It's pretty tough. And I'm kind of trying to figure out where, like, I know that we didn't get actually details on his life before this, as we said.
Mm-hmm.
So this might be a hot take because he does hate Setharus, I think is his name.
Yes.
Does it kind of feel like he should be trusting Setharus like a little bit more?
Yes.
And trusting everyone else a little bit less?
Okay. Well, there's a few things here. I think he can trust that he knows Setharus well. I think he can trust that he is able to predict what Setharus wants and sort of his motivations and that kind of thing. But I don't think he can trust Setharus to have his best interests in mind. Like, I think Setharus would be trying to constantly maneuver for his own gain.
Okay, sure.
So from that angle, like, trust, like, technically yes, but I don't think you can actually, like, rely on them, if that makes sense. I do think Kesavet, the messenger, who's, like, the first guy he meets and decides he's going to make him his right-hand man.
Yeah.
Too quick with that guy. Way too quick. I get that you have to trust somebody. And this feels very similar to, what was that book we read about the space emperor? You know what I'm talking about with the little station? It's like a memory called Empire, in that this person gets thrust into this circumstance and they have to trust somebody at some point.
Yeah.
He's just leaning way into Kesavet. And I think in this circumstance, you really need to distribute. You need to have a few people you're trying out before you commit this hard.
Well, I think my thing is, and I realize that it's just like so overwhelming and everything happens so quickly.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily against the idea that you have to just like trust certain people. Like, I agree with that. I feel like he just chose this guy.
Yeah.
And like, just went all out, whereas I feel like you like maybe choose someone but like maybe I don't know if like testing them occasionally is the right thing to say, but like definitely still be more cautious than I think he's being.
Yeah Well, and I think this actually ties really well into a problem that he has right now, which is bro needs to delegate.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me you read every single piece of mail that gets sent to you and you personally respond with the help of your one secretary? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
You need to get a team of like 10 little elves, 10 little elves that are constantly reading your mail. They're like summarizing it. And then maybe you have your top guy that's prioritizing who's doing what.
Yeah.
But you get the low priority stuff out of the way with these like little helper elves. And then all you have to do is if you're like, why is the shit falling apart in this specific area? Oh, it's you. You're bad at this. You're fired. We're getting a new helper elf to help me do this.
Right. The little communication stuff for sure.
Yeah.
100%.
That. it feels like a lot of this stuff you got to delegate to some, to multiple people, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe he will. It's still early, right? It's like day three.
True. True. But he is seem to be moving quickly, so.
But I would have to think that there is already that kind of framework set up.
Right. Right. This is an empire. It's got like bureaucracy, right?
Yeah.
And you're the emperor. Technically, you can make it happen.
Right.
You can be like, hey, this is how I'm doing things now because I don't want to constantly be replying to fan mail. So I'll still get the message. It just might not be like directly to me.
Or just be like, hey, just setting a precedent here right now. I'm reading everything literally. Sorry, folks. I'm not. If you're dancing around the point, I'm out. I'm setting it down.
It goes to the bottom of my list. Yeah, great. Cut through the bullshit. Mm-hmm.
You know the bluff method, Dan?
The bluff method.
Bottom line up front. I'm instituting the bluff method if I'm the emperor, okay? If your email doesn't have the ask in the first two sentences, it's getting unread.
I love it. I've not heard of the bluff method, but I should start putting that in my email signature.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. This is a good point, though. Either that or get like an AI agent to summarize all your messages.
Right, right. Definitely no problems with that.
The other thing is that I'm struggling with,
mm-hmm.
Dan, the names.
Ooh, okay.
Too many names.
A lot. I actually, for this episode, wrote down like 10 of the most important ones.
Okay.
I'm trying to be a little profesh, Luke.
This is very professional. I'm impressed. Mm-hmm. This is the most professional thing we've ever done.
Yep. Thank you. Yeah, I do appreciate the pronunciation guide at the beginning, though.
Are you like going back and referencing it?
I'm not, but it does provide a little bit of humor in some of the names of things, Luke.
Because, if I'm honest, I kind of skipped past that.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting when we hear more about this faction, the Judea Kaya. Hold on. It's interesting when we hear more about this faction, the Judea Kate.
Okay.
The Judea Kate. Are you familiar with the Judea Kate?
I'm not.
I think in English we would pronounce it judiciate.
Is that actually how they say the pronunciation?
Yeah. So the keys here are there's no silent letters, so the E at the end has to be pronounced, and the C is a K sound.
Okay.
So the Judea Kate.
Okay. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now for a
is
lot
that
of...
Are you pronouncing everything? When you read it,
yeah.
Are you making the conversion in your brain?
Only if they're proper nouns. So okay. Most words, God, that would be miserable to be trying to translate every word.
I pronunciation. Hope that the audiobook is like that.
Oh, no.
Any folks that are doing the audiobook, please. Please tell me.
That would be tough. But like the Judea Kate is like a proper noun name of an organization in this world. So
nice.
I'm sticking with it. But yeah, a lot of names in here. Cora Jas. The like Z sound.
How are you doing with keeping people like making sure you know who he's talking about?
Struggling with it, Luke.
Okay, good. Me too.
A lot of names. Now, I do think, from a reader's perspective, I don't think that's a problem because so is our main character, right?
I think it's kind of intentional, and I think it works because it's... I'm like more confused than he is because I think he has a little bit more background with who these people are.
Yeah.
But the point of it is to show how like overwhelming and not ready he is to be part of this court.
Yeah. 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 So we'll see. I'm hoping there's a lot of names I'm skimming over because I'm like, you don't seem like you're going to show up again or be that important.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Okay, so I have... This is going to be a weird take.
Okay.
So this is a empire of elves.
Mm-hmm.
They're very distinctive looking, yep. Right?
Yep.
And very, like, this kind of, like, court manners and stuff like that is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Our main character, the new emperor, is half goblin.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it that that hasn't been like a big deal,
mm-hmm.
because it is.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I feel like there's been less racial animosity than I would have expected.
Luke, I have this same comment, actually. I was expecting them to be so racist for some reason.
Yeah.
And
like they accept like that he's going to be the emperor. Correct. And that's shocking to me.
I don't know what it says about us, Luke, but
yeah.
Completely agree. I was like, "Oh, like people are making a deal about this, but not like I mean, no one's being like explicitly racist to him or like refusing him
honestly,
certain things."
It honestly feels like there's a lot of people uncomfortable with him.
Yeah.
For like non-racial reasons. You know what I mean? Like it feels like the pushback is more about like that his dad didn't like him.
Yeah.
Or like didn't respect him or whatever.
Yeah.
Or like that he hasn't been part of this court.
And I think, too, like, there is definitely some racist shit going on. Like, his dad sounds like he was pretty racist and is making,
yeah,
like,
sure.
some parts about his race. But I think it is very interesting that he is still the emperor and there was not... Nobody made a single comment about the fact that he was a goblin in his, yeah. like, preparation for coronation or, like... No one has questioned his legitimacy at all because of his race.
Yeah.
Which is... Very interesting, I think.
It is. It is. I'm glad you had this thought as well.
Yes. Yes. Which I appreciate it, you know? A little less serious. A little less maybe severe racism. Still definitely racism against the goblins.
Yeah.
But...
I feel like I just... As we were going along... And getting closer and closer to like the coronation and everything.
Yeah.
I just kept being like, oh, wow. No one is actually, it's just going to go on.
Yep. Yep.
Good.
Great. We're happy about it. Can't believe anybody was actually even worried.
Yeah. Yeah.
Luke, do you think it took us too long to suspect foul play?
In the death of the emperor and most all of his heirs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that would have been like immediate.
In the extremely convenient death of the emperor and all his heirs in like one fell swoop?
Yeah.
Seemed ripe for foul play, no? Seemed like 100%. Seemed like that should have been the first question is like, okay, how did they die? Their airship went down. Is that a normal thing? Does that happen
often?
Yeah,
give me numbers. Give me statistics.
What were the odds of that just randomly happening?
I would have to think that it never happens.
Yeah, because they wouldn't put the emperor and all of his sons on one airship if it happened frequently.
Exactly.
Guys... And I think, too, this is like Maya. If I'm Maya, I hear that everybody ahead of me just got, and I'm like, ooh, okay, I got to be careful now. I got to be really careful.
Yeah.
Because I'm a target.
Well, also, there's been, like, weirdly little talk of who... Like, I realize that they've started this investigation.
Yeah.
But there's been kind of not really talk of motive here, which I feel like is where you would go first. Mm-hmm. Or it'd be like, okay, I'm thinking of, like, who would want to do this.
Right.
Because if they wanted to kill all of the, like, line of succession.
Yeah.
Either they wanted Maya to be the emperor, or they're also going to try to kill Maya, right?
Yeah. So, Luke, I think my prevailing theory is they did want Maya to be the emperor.
Mm-hmm.
Because they thought that they could manipulate him. They thought he would be like a really easy puppet to control.
Mm. Okay.
And I think that might be changing when it's clear he's not going to just be pushed around.
Sure, sure.
Do you have a
theory as to who it is?
No, I'm saving that.
We're holding off.
I'm saving that. Okay. It's a little too soon, I think.
Okay. No, that's fair. That's good logic, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do have to say, big suspicion right now being thrown on Signet guy.
Oh, interesting.
Here's the deal with Signet guy. He is... So a signet ring is like the thing you use to sign mail, right?
Yeah.
So a big part of that is that you're the only one with a signet ring, because it's like your way of indicating that it's from you and only you.
Right.
We're letting this guy keep all the blanks for the signets after he's made you the ring? No, I want to keep the blank. The blank is kept in my safe in the castle.
Right.
You don't get to keep it because then you could just make another one. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
You're telling me you also have the signet blanks for, like, everyone here?
So, okay.
What's your security like?
I'm curious, like, how much goes into, like, how much trust is placed upon the signets? Because anyone can make one of these, right?
I mean, yes and no.
Well, it's like, okay, I know this, the emperor's signet is like this cat thing in this specific way.
Yeah.
Like, you can just make one of those.
Well, Luke, okay. I think that the idea is like, yes, you can just make one of those. But if you think about like the process of actually making one, it would potentially mm-hmm. take time. Okay. And two, the person who has an interest in making it probably is not the same person with the skills to make it.
Sure.
So this introduces another person in your conspiracy as a potential like leak, as a potential for the word to get out that you're trying to make a signet.
Yeah.
Of the emperor for some reason. So like, I don't think it's an airtight way. You're right. Like, I think there's definitely ways to get around it. I do think you gotta be a little bit more, like, if it has any meaning, you have to be a little bit more choosy with who holds on to the blank.
Sure.
And the ring. And his justification, which is insane, is like, oh yeah, if you're walking along and your ring pops off and goes in the pond, then you can just call me up and I'll make you a new one.
Right.
So it's that easy to just make a new one? That's a problem, sir.
Sure.
I'm suspicious. I'm suspicious of this guy.
Dan's suspicious. He's very old, apparently.
And he's going to be very old? Like, he's going to continue to be old? Is he a goblin or an elf? Or he's a different kind of guy?
I got the sense that he was a different kind of guy.
He's got to be, right?
Yeah, because I think he's like a different from everyone. somehow.
Do you think...
I'm sure they explicitly say it, but... Yeah.
Now, Luke, here's a question. In a lot of fiction, elves live a long time.
Yes.
Do you think that's true here?
I don't know.
okay.
Because they do say that, like, there's been a lot of elves that have, like, leaders that have come and gone.
Mm-hmm.
And this example that they choose to make to show that this guy is really old,
yeah,
right, is like, there's an, he has, he name drops the name of some emperor or empress or something from like 500 years ago.
Yeah.
And like, if elves were living super long, that would be like a couple emperors ago, right?
Right, right. Unless everyone's just getting murdered all the time.
Right, right. No one's reaching their natural old age.
Yeah, except Signet guy, because he's like, I'm the keeper of the signets, so don't kill me.
Yeah. it could, maybe it's just a very violent society. It could be, yeah.
I mean, the dude had four wives, and a lot of them didn't make it to their, like, past 30.
Right. Maybe, here's what it is. They can reach really old age, but their healthcare system is really bad. And so just everyone gets, like, diseases or something.
They get goblin disease. Oh, no.
Those damn goblins.
Whoa, Luke, that's taking it way too far.
I apologize.
You're not. I don't think you are enlightened enough to live in this society, Luke.
Certainly not.
You'd be out here on the corner, like questioning the birth certificate of the emperor or some stupid shit like that.
Right, which is unacceptable.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
No one would ever do that.
No.
No one would ever be rewarded for doing that.
Twice. No one would be. Maybe once they'd be rewarded, but twice? No.
No one would ever turn that kind of thing into a successful career that puts them atop the political world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one would do that. I've been thinking a lot recently in reading this book about how there's a lot of discourse about, like, today is the best time to be alive as a person. Like, we have a lot of great things, and, like, any historical period, there's going to be a lot more, like, suffering probably in your life than there is today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I do think that that is true. But I think it is more true for the class of people at the very top of our society than for, like, average people. Because thinking about that, like reading about what it's like to be an emperor or a monarch or, like, a singular head of state, horrible. Sounds horrible. Not fun at all. Now, like, billionaire class, all they have to do is, like, have one company and they can just do whatever they want. Like, we're witnessing that they just get to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
It's too good. They won.
I agree with that aspect of it. I feel like you're saying being an emperor in this old, like, an older time would be terrible because of the, like, weight of responsibility and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I will posit to you that they didn't always carry the weight of those responsibilities
and
stuff. Yeah,
but Luke, they did have to be constantly politically maneuvering to not get murdered.
Yeah, that's true.
Meanwhile, our billionaires are out here, like, buying a fifth yacht and, like, nobody gives a shit. Like, our billionaires are not running scared for their lives. They're, like, buying Twitter and being racist. Like, and it's in public, and it's just like,
right.
They just get to do whatever they want. They won, Luke. They won. They get to make all the decisions and have a bunch of power, and they also get to do whatever they want. And it feels like they've won. It feels like they've solved that part.
It does feel, and this is getting into more political stuff, but the elite impunity problem in current society is pretty bad.
I think it's just, especially comparing it to reading about all the responsibilities put on Maya as the emperor, and in a lot of the other books we've read, like the monarch, the leader of these different societies, like there is a lot of stuff that they have to do.
Right.
Meanwhile, and then I just gesture around to what's happening in our world.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I think they won. The big takeaway here is our elites won, and they found the cheat code. They put the game genie in and found the cheat code.
They did. That's true. It's not great.
No. Anyway, Luke, we're gonna read another third of this book. What do you say?
I'm excited for it.
I think we're gonna find out a little bit more about whodunit. Maybe.
Yes. Yes.
Hopefully Maya doesn't get assassinated as well, because he seems to be a pretty pretty good guy.
Yeah.
And I think big goals for this next part, I want him to make one real friend.
Okay.
That's his goal. Make one real friend.
It. Always good to set achievable goals.
Yeah. So we'll keep an eye on that, and we'll be back next week bringing the hot takes.
And being dumb nerds.